Welcome to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast. Every 2 weeks, we explore news and issues affecting hunters, anglers, and conservation across the northeastern United States. If you enjoy the content here, be sure to subscribe to our print or digital versions by calling 800-535-5191 or visit our website at outdoornews.com. Now, here's your host and a man who claims he's immune to buck fever, New York Outdoor News editor Dan Ladd.
This episode of the Great Northeast Podcast is brought to you by the Family Forest Carbon Program, a collaborative initiative created by two nonprofit organizations, the American Forest Foundation and the Nature Conservancy, assisting landowners in improving the health of their land with long-term sustainable forest management practices while providing guaranteed annual income. Learn more at familyforestcarbon.org. Greetings and welcome to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. As always, happy to be along, happy to have you along as we are in the heart of the summer period here. And we just kind of dodged a bullet with some heat. And that's probably courtesy of the smoke that is in the sky coming from the wildfires in Canada. It actually kept the sun at bay, maybe not best for the breathing, but it turned what was supposed to be a nearly 100-degree day in some areas to maybe 8 or 10 degrees less. So a little easier on the air conditioning, a little easier on the heat. Take it or leave it. That's what we're dealing with right now, folks. And boy, they're really having a problem up there in Canada and even parts of the United States. Out in Minnesota, we just got word that the Boundary Waters Canoe Wilderness area is closed to visitors. That's how bad it is. Now, this is in the right on the Canadian border in Minnesota, a long ways from the northeast, but just gives you an idea of what folks are dealing with. Speaking of the weather, well, kind of like the weather, we've got a topic for you on this week's podcast that is kind of something we've talked about in the past. Actually, I think we may have done a podcast on it a few years ago. And that is the Sunshine Protection Act, which is really gaining steam in the United States Congress. The House of Representatives just passed it pretty convincingly, and it's headed to the Senate, and we'll see what happens with it. One thing for sure is President Trump is behind it, and that could be get a lot of support from those who support him and a lot of oppositions to the people who don't like him. And we know that that's the political climate of today. Not much we can do about that. But that's where we're at. And the reality is this thing seems to have gained a lot more steam than it has in the past. And it really could become a reality. Now, what it will do is if this law passes, it will make daylight savings time permanent. So we entered daylight savings time in March. We will leave daylight savings time in a normal scenario of the last few decades or however long it's been. There's quite a history with this. November 1st, the overnight Halloween into November 1st. If nothing is done, if this law doesn't pass, then we will end daylight savings time on November 1st. And we all know what that means. It starts to get dark a lot earlier around here. But what I want to do on this podcast is talk about how this change, if the law does pass, how it will affect those of us in the outdoors, because it will have an effect on just about anyone who recreates outdoors, is obviously in the way we live our lives. And we'll touch on that too. And along the way, I also want to touch on what would happen if we went the other way, because there are people who feel that we should not observe daylight savings time, that we should just stay with standard time. And that could prove pretty interesting. And the irony of that is it's the way it used to be. So we're going to touch on all that when we come back right after this.
Are you an avid angler searching for the latest fishing news and tips? It's time to check out OutdoorNews.com. Get ready to reel in the freshest updates and expert advice from top anglers. Plus, you'll have access to the most up-to-date fishing reports, lake maps, lake reports, and more. Don't let the big one get away. Join OutdoorNews.com and reel in a world of fishing knowledge and expertise. Join today, OutdoorNews.com. Your passion, your news, your fishing journey.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. And we're about to delve into what life would be like, especially in a sporting world, if the law, the Sunshine Protection Act, were to pass, and President Trump was to sign it, and it was to become law in the United States. Now, I'll throw in a quick disclaimer here. Already, some states choose to either not observe daylight savings time, like Arizona, or they kind of adjust how they do it. I believe Indiana is one of those. And boy, it could be really confusing if different states go in a different direction here. But for the record, let's just assume that this passes and everyone chooses to observe it. So what would happen is we would be exactly the way we are right now from March until the fall when daylight savings time ends. Currently, we are observing daylight savings time. And this bill, as written, would keep that in place. We would no longer observe standard time, which we go back to in the fall. So what does that mean if you're an outdoorsman? Again, from March to November, doesn't mean anything. It's what we've been doing for much of our lives. Of course, this has quite a history dating back to the World Wars. But anyway, let's fast forward to, say, November. I've got a chart in front of me here. This is the sunrise, sunset chart that I use for Albany, New York, for New York Outdoor News. If you look at the fishing reports page, the hunting and fishing report, we have the sunrise, sunset, and how it's adjusted across the state. And this is what I'm looking at right now. And some of these numbers might be a little different because they change from year to year. But right now, daylight savings time is scheduled to end overnight Saturday into Sunday, October 31st, Halloween, into Sunday morning, November 1st, which is 7:29. So if we were not to change, then the sunrise would not go back to 6:29 the next day. It would stay at 7:29. And that's where we would be for, you know, as we progress through fall. So let's fast forward to November 21st, okay? That's the opening day of the Southern Zone rifle season here in New York. And last year, the sun rose at 6:54 a.m. That would happen an hour later, roughly. So, hey, if you want to sleep in at deer camp, you're going to get to do that. And then on the contrary, rather than the sun going down at 4:27 p.m., on November 21st, you would have daylight until 5:27. So it'd be a little later that you would be hunting. Everything would shift by an hour. That's pretty much the math. Let's back up a little bit to, you know, back to November 1st, right around the time the clocks change. Things in the northern zone of New York and the Adirondacks, I know up in Maine, their season typically begins right around November 1st. I think this year it would be Monday, November 3rd. Instead of the sun coming up at 6:31 that morning in Albany, it would come up at 7:31. Everything would be an hour later. And that's how we would adjust. And of course, as we progress towards the winter solstice, you know, which is right around December 21st, not always on that date, but that's the shortest day of the year, we'd be shrinking right down, say around Christmas time. Sunrise would be basically, you know, 8:23 a.m. in the morning, and sunset would be about 5:26. Give or take, these numbers adjust by a few seconds or a minute or so every year, you know, on the same given date. And that's the way it would be in the winter. So think about what you like to do in the winter with that, with your daylight. I'm gonna say ice fishing, running a trap line. Some guys get up in the morning and check their trap lines before they go to work. That might be a little tough doing that in the dark here during the winter months. You might have to do it after work. Same with ice fishing. We'll be sleeping in just like deer season and getting up an hour later to go ice fishing, but also have an hour later in the day. I know in my former job and even in my current job, I like to sneak out on the ice after work for a little bit and stay till dark. So say, I don't know, mid-January, January 15th in the Albany area, instead of it getting dark around 5 o'clock with sunset being at 4:46, it would happen around 6 o'clock with sunset being at 5:46. And that's the way it would progress throughout the entire winter, right into early March when we set the clocks back, when we set the clocks ahead, spring ahead. which we would no longer do as well. We would be continuing to observe daylight savings time throughout the winter months. So that's how it would affect us. Again, being deer hunters, it'd be a real change in our season, basically right from around November 1st all the way through to the end. Everything that we do now would be happening an hour later. So you'd be getting up an hour later. Instead of going in the woods at 7, 7.30, you'd be going in the woods at 8, 8.30, depending on how you hunt, how early you like to get in, how far of a walk you've got. And you'd also have that time at the end of the day. So what does this do for the working person? Well, again, some people, mentioned people running trap lines in the morning. So many hunters sneak out for an afternoon hunt, in the obviously after work. That would definitely be beneficial to that type of hunter if this change were made, because you'd obviously have another hour after work. So if you're one of those people that gets out of work at, say, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, you're kind of running it tight as November winds down. But if this change were made, that wouldn't be the case. You know, around December 1st, instead of the sun setting at 4:22, it would be 5:22. So you'd have that extra hour. But I know, hey, everybody works all kinds of different shifts. Myself, flexible work schedule at least every other week when we're not going to print with New York Outdoor News. I tend to sneak out in the morning a little bit. I like to get out for sunrise. So I'm out there, you know, especially in the late muzzleloading season here in the Adirondacks, say around, December 10th or around there, you know, it gets light at 7:14, stays light till 4:21. I'm usually out there in the morning, several mornings when I can, and I don't know if I'll be able to pull that off now, at least not as much. But I'd obviously have that much more time in the afternoon to take a crack at it. So again, deer hunting, waterfowl hunting obviously goes on into the later part of the year, the early part of the winter, and trapping and ice fishing. Those are the main outdoor activities that if this change were made would be affected by this. Something to think about. And that's something that we all need to think about on our own individual basis. And I know that's what everybody's doing when it comes to things like work, lifestyles, kids, family. All of that comes into play, and everybody's different. Anyways, that's how, if the change is made, it would affect us. I want to talk about what would happen if we were to go in the other direction and choose not to observe daylight savings time and to stay with standard time, which, by the way, is not being proposed, but some people float that idea. We'll talk about that when we come back right after this.
There's a great program available for youth who love to hunt and fish. It's called the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team, and any youth 18 or under can join for free at jrproteam.com. JPT program showcases useful videos and tips to help encourage the next generation to become stronger anglers and hunters. It's a platform to celebrate and inspire those outdoor loving youth. Check out the photos of Outdoor News Junior Pro Team members on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube, and visit our jrproteam.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, and we're talking about the possibility of the Sunshine Protection Act becoming a reality. At least that's what we talked about in the last segment. Now we're going to kind of look at it the other way. What if, and this is a big what if, by the way, I'll admit that, but it's worth talking about. It's kind of interesting. What if we ever had a bill that decided to go back to the way things always were, or we never did this spring ahead thing, you know, where we did not choose to observe daylight savings time, because that's what happens in March, as we spring ahead and we choose to observe daylight savings time rather than stay with standard time. What if we just stuck with standard time all the time? How would that affect the way we enjoy our outdoor recreation? I think it'd be pretty interesting. Well, for starters, things in the wintertime would stay the way we've known them to be for most of our lives, with the exception if you were around, in the time of the World Wars when some of this stuff was enacted. But for most of us, for most of our lives, we have always observed daylight savings time from the spring through the fall, and then chose not to during the winter and early spring months, or late fall, I should say, through early spring. So all the things I just mentioned about, you know, deer season, ice fishing, trapping, that would not apply. Things would stay the way we know them to be now. Where it would really change is when we get into the warm weather months. That's really, wow, it would really be something different. So let me start there and remember that, you know, from the winter solstice onward, we're gaining daylight. And by the time you get into, say, April, and you're approaching the summer solstice, you're really, really, really gaining daylight, you know, 2-3 minutes of the day, a little bit on each end. So I'm going to start around April 1st, you know, maybe 3 weeks after we normally spring ahead and begin to observe daylight savings time. You know, April 1st this year, sunrise was at 6:37 and sunset was at 7:21. So what you would be doing is that would stay an hour back. Okay, this would all be an hour earlier. So sunrise, April 1st, would be 5:37. Got to get up pretty early to go trout fishing on the opener. And sunset would be, you know, 6:21 actually, in Albany, New York. Now let's move that up. Okay, let's move that up to, say, the youth turkey hunt, which is, you know, right around this year. I think it was the 25th and 26th of April. April 26th this year, the sun came up in Albany at 5:56 a.m., okay? It went down at 7:49. If you move that up an hour to 4:56 a.m., now you're really pushing the envelope for not just kids that want to go turkey hunting, but adults too. Take that into May. Take that into, say, May 15th, Albany, New York. Sunrise, 5:32 a.m. right now, while we're, you know, continuing to observe daylight savings time. If we were to go the other way and go to standard time, it would be 4:30 a.m. Boy, you'd be getting up really early to go turkey hunting, and imagine the drive you got to take. So same with fishing. You know, walleye season begins May 1st, pike. You know, people be getting up really early to get to a destination to be on the water, you know, at the right time, especially if you got to drive. And that would play out through the entire part of the summer. It would basically, by the time you get to the summer solstice around the 20th, you know, I think the earliest I'm showing sunrise here is right around 5:16 from June 10th to June 20th. And it starts to go the other way. Sunset is 8:32 or so, and then becomes 8:35, 8:36, and stays right there for quite a while. We're just coming out of that period, actually. All that would be an hour earlier. So, you know, you go to a July 4th celebration, and they don't even start the fireworks till after 9. That would all be happening earlier under this. Let's say you're someone who likes to go camping. A lot of nights, I mean, I've spent several nights in my camper already. A lot of nights, you know, you're waiting for it to get dark so you can have a fire, and it doesn't get dark till 9 o'clock. So that would all be happening a little earlier, and that could be good or bad depending on who you are and what you like to do. And, you know, everybody's different. We all have things that we enjoy and things that would be affected by these changes negatively or positively, and that's what we all need to think about. So again, the summer months would be really interesting. Everything would be happening a lot earlier. And what I also want to talk about is how this will affect our daily lives on both ends. And I'm going to do that when we come back right after this.
Your land is your legacy, but keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land, with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Vermont, Massachusetts, or New York, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org and enroll today.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast, folks. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, and we're talking about the proposed Sunshine Protection Act that has made its way through the U.S. House of Representatives and could find its way to the Senate pretty soon and possibly to President Trump's desk. The president is behind this, which is probably gives it a lot more leverage and maybe a little more opposition than it normally has. And there's no telling what's going to happen, but it's probably closer to being a reality than it's ever been. And this bill has been proposed a number of times in recent years. Let me share a few things with you about this. You know, you go out on the internet, you look around, there's a lot of arguments for this. And I'm talking about real life now. We've been talking about the sporting life, but and that all applies, but there's also the reality of how we live. Now, a lot of people complain about the sleep disturbances. There's actually been health issues connected to springing ahead, especially because people lose an hour of sleep in the spring. They say it affects productivity on the job. There's all kinds of talk about that. These are the arguments for doing it, okay, for just making the proposed daylight savings time, keeping it permanent, making that happen. So what it would do is it would provide more daylight hours, you know, after work, after school for kids. You'd have an extra hour basically in the winter months than you currently have now. Again, this will not affect where we're at right now from basically early March to early November. That will all stay the same if this becomes law. What'll change is the late fall, all of winter, and most of winter, and of course the spring. Technically, I take that back because the time change usually occurs very late winter, right in March. So it's basically the last month or so of fall, and just about probably 80% of the winter. So that's where this comes into play. So the arguments against are that the late winter sunrises could, you know, will really, really hurt the people in the morning. There's been talk about how it can affect the farmers, especially those who have to deal with, you know, being outside. They're getting basically started an hour later and they got to stay out an hour later. So, you know, farmers work hard as it is. And there's all kinds of things about sleep, again, on the arguments against. The biggest arguments against is, and I guess the one for too, where they collide is the commute. What is safer to do in the dark? The morning commute to work, to school, or the evening commute from work, and in some cases from school? I'm going to take you back to 1974, 75, I think it was. I'm old enough to remember this. For 1 year, we observed this during the energy crisis. We chose not to turn the clocks back in the fall. We continued to stay in daylight savings time. And I can remember riding the bus to school then in the dark. And I didn't seem to mind. I kind of liked it. I think I actually slept on the bus, to be honest with you. But I was very young. I was just a young kid. I remember that. And the government scrapped it shortly after that. They gave it a try. And then that was the end of it. But I do remember that happening. So there seems to be a little more support for it now. You can go out on the internet and do your own research, and the polls change every day. But it sounds like more than half the people in this country, according to the polls, support this. And but what I really, really want to point out is how it's going to affect everyone differently. And this depends on where you are. This is not a one-size-fits-all thing. Now, I look at where I live in the eastern part of New York State. The times I've been quoting for Albany are just a few minutes off of where I live, but that's not the case for everybody. And it depends on where you land in the time zone, how this can affect you. And that's what people need to think about. It's not just about you, and it's certainly not the same for everybody. And I'm just going to ask anyone who's a subscriber to New York Outdoor News to take a look at the Hunting and Fishing Report page where we have the sunrise, sunset hours. There, we have a graph every issue and a map. And you see this in other publications and anywhere online. I'm sure the Farmer's Almanac has something like this out there. But we adjust our sunrise and sunset times for Albany, New York. That is zero in our publication. Now, if you go, say, over towards Utica, they're about 6 minutes behind. Go out east or west of Syracuse, between Auburn and Syracuse, they're about 12 minutes behind. And you get my point. By the time you get to western New York, before you enter Pennsylvania, they're almost a half an hour behind Albany, New York. So think about that. Think about a state like Ohio, where the sun's going to come up maybe even close to an hour later than it does in Albany. And so if the sun's not coming up till, say, let me go back to the chart here for the winter. If in the winter time, if the sun's not coming up, say January 15th until 8:22 a.m., it's going to be closer to 9 o'clock in those places. And of course, they're going to have more daylight at the end. They're going to have more daylight than those of us here in the Northeast. And of course, as you go out towards Maine, east of Albany, the times I just quoted are going to be even sooner. It's going to get light sooner. It's going to get dark sooner. And that's what you really have to think about, folks, is not just how it impacts you, but also somebody else. And that's the arguments that you're hearing when you really pay attention to this, you know, on the floor, on the Congress floor, because people have to represent their constituents, and it's not the same for everybody. And that's going to be the same in a central time zone or a Pacific time zone. The farther west you go, the later these changes kick in. The farther east you go in the time zone, the earlier they kick in. And I'm just using the eastern time zone as an example because that's where we are. And that's something you really got to think about. So that's what's going on here with the Sunshine Protection Act. Again, I wanted to take some time and just talk about that today, get everyone thinking about it. And if it's important to you, you know, reach out to your elected official and let them know how you feel. And because this thing, it could come up in the Senate again pretty soon, perhaps even by the time you hear this podcast. And who knows, I believe if it passes, that the president will sign it and it will become law. And again, just to summarize, the Sunrise Protection Act, or bill, whatever you want to call it, aims to make daylight savings time permanent. That means we would stay where we are right now. We are currently observing daylight savings time. We would not spring, we would not fall back in the fall. Everything would stay status quo, and obviously we would not change again in the spring. It would stay the way it is right now. That means, in summary, that means a later sunrise in the fall, a later sunset in the fall, and all the way through into the winter, into the spring. And in the outdoor world, it mostly affects fall hunters in November, ice fishermen, trappers, in terms of recreation. And of course, it affects everybody the way we live our lives. So I hope you found this summary helpful. I hope it's something you think you can relate to on one side or the other. But mainly, we're just trying to inform you and let you know what it's about, because there are some misconceptions out there with the terminology. So again, reach out to your elected officials. Elected officials, I got to learn how to say that word correctly. And let them know how you feel, because this is important and it's going to change the way we live our lives if it becomes reality. Hey, here's hoping everyone's got a big fish in their net and a big buck on their meat pole. For New York Outdoor News and the Great Northeast Podcast, I'm Dan Ladd.
Missed a past episode of the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast? You can find previous programs at outdoornews.com or via your favorite podcast streaming platform. And for the rest of the story on the topics we cover on this program, get yourself a subscription to Outdoor News. Simply call 800-535-5191 or visit us at outdoornews.com. And don't forget to join us again here in 2 weeks to talk everything out of doors. Thanks for listening to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast.